title for today's devotion comes from Ephesians 4, verse 3. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When the coronavirus first impacted the nations around the world, one of the first instructions given out by the government was to wear a face mask. This was to go some way to inhibit the germs of the virus spreading from the mouth to others. When we stand back and reflect on what impact the virus has had around the world, it portrays three distinct effects: fear, division, and death. Because the virus is invisible, we are unable to see where it will strike next, which can create fear. Vulnerable people were asked to isolate themselves to avoid meeting anyone with the virus, which brought isolation and loneliness. It created division, and sadly for many, death. The effects this virus is having on our world goes right against the truth of the gospel message, which God offers free to all who put their trust in him. Jesus said in John 3:15-17, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him. We all need to come to a place of understanding to utter the words that Peter said to Jesus in John 6:68-69. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the truth behind the title to this devotion, which is taken from Ephesians 4 verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. These few words sum up God's desire for mankind. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to bring a bond, a unity through peace and eternal life. How comforting and reassuring are the words of the hymn which says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The virus, as well as giving a vivid picture of the sin of mankind, has all the hallmarks of Satan's ploys to divide, conquer, and destroy. Satan's purpose on this earth is to bring fear and division, bringing chaos to society. How true the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This coronavirus attacks the respiratory system through the nose and throat down into the lungs, where it can bring terminal damage. So we are instructed to wear face masks for protection. For the Christian, we have a responsibility to protect our mouth from words that can harm and destroy. As we read in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As well as what we do, we have a responsibility to guard our tongue to ensure no unworthy words come out of our mouths that can offend and cause a person to stumble and be stifled in their pursuit of new life through the work Jesus did when he gave up his life on the cross of Calvary. We do well to remind ourselves what Jesus hath, Brother James said in James 3, 2-18. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is neither at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal around. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, it should not be. Can both flesh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear fruit? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show by their good life and by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find discord and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Two of the 25 symptoms of coronavirus are lack of smell or taste. We have our smell and taste buds to detect and prevent us from eating anything that is unpleasant and not good to nourish our bodies. Sufferers tell us how unpleasant it is to eat food, food which is normally tasty, melt in your taste buds, whereas with coronavirus, eating food without taste buds or smell is very difficult. One has to force oneself to eat. We know how mouth-watering it is just to smell a meal while it is cooking long before it's reached our plate and ultimately reaches our lips. One of the first references to smell in the Bible is in Genesis 8, 20-22. Then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." In the book of Exodus and Leviticus, God instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel to offer burnt sacrifice to him, both for sins committed, but also as an offering of thanksgiving for God's goodness to them. On numerous occasions during the time the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, we read about the aroma rising up from an offering. For example, in Leviticus 1:8-10 we read, "Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord." Notice what effect it had when God received the smell of each offering. We read that each offering was an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In the New Testament, we also read about us, the church, bringing offerings to God. We read in Ephesians 5:1-3, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Walking in the love of God is a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Philippians 4:17-19 says, "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The act of giving our tithes and our actions are a pleasing fragrance to God. Then in 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15 we read, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." When we have the reassuring joy of the Lord living in our hearts, we transmit an invisible aroma of his love and his presence. For folk we meet each day, it will create an openness. They will sense a warmth in our spirits and experience the scent of God's fragrance emanating from our personality. As well as transmitting a sweet aroma to others, we shall also be using our taste to savour God's love and his presence. When we tuck into a tasty meal, the saliva begins to mix with the food to assist the digestion. In Psalm 34:8-9 we read, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him or reverence him lack nothing." How I remember being taught as a child not to bolt my food, but to chew the food before I swallowed it. It is the same when we are reading the Word of God. We need to allow the saliva of the Holy Spirit to mingle with the Word. Often, while preparing these studies, I will take a verse from the Bible and during my daytime activities, meditate on it. One of the ways to enrich the flavour in a meal is to add extra ingredients and let it soak in. For example, it may be meat. One can cover it with herbs and maybe add olive oil or some wine and wait for the ingredients to penetrate the meat, which we call marinating. So, when we spend time to think and meditate on God's Word, the Holy Spirit will marinate those precious thoughts and gems of wisdom, so much needed to nourish our heart and soul. Having allowed God's Word to be marinated by the Holy Spirit, it will not only bring a rich taste and joy in our heart, but just as vital, when helping and communicating God's love to us, that divine, beautiful flavour will transmit to others. This is a vital ingredient. It is a key factor in our day-to-day living as we witness to others, which will have such a powerful anointing, it will greatly impact those we serve and share with. David says in Psalm 119:102-104, "I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Having been a former sufferer of ME or CFS, which means chronic fatigue syndrome, and gained a great deal of understanding from its associated family of illnesses, it is my personal belief that this virus attacks the nervous system, temporarily numbing the smell and taste buds, affecting the linings of the lungs, which then produce copious amounts of mucus to try and clear the debris that is built up, which will block the oxygen getting into the bloodstream. The defense system in the lungs creates mucus to clear the airlines. If it becomes overpowered, it can lead to pneumonia, which can lead to death. The function of the lungs is to feed the body with oxygen, which is fed directly into the blood, vital fuel to drive our body. We have considered the mouth, the smell and the taste for the Christian, but if we do not breathe in spiritual oxygen, we will become inept, inert, and ineffective through the energy fed to us by the Holy Spirit. Once that energy finds itself in our heart, the Holy Spirit will continue to give us spiritual energy both to taste, to smell, and to be effective workers for God. It is said that you can't survive for long without food, water, sleep or air. Survival experts apply the rules of threes to lasting without essentials. You can go about 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without shelter, and 3 minutes without air. For the Christian it is no different. We cannot go without the air of the Holy Spirit. It is the oxygen of the soul. The Holy Spirit which nourishes our spiritual bloodstream. We need the constant moment-by-moment nourishment of the Holy Spirit feeding us with spiritual oxygen, who in turn feeds our spirits with the food, the Word of God. His Holy Spirit should be living in us constantly, just as we subconsciously breathe. We should be allowing the energy of His Spirit to guard our every movement, both in what we do and say. We as God's people should all be His first aiders, ever ready to draw near to folk who are calling out for help. We should keep ourselves fully versed in God's Word and ever ready with the resuscitation of His Holy Spirit to breathe new life into people's souls. The coronavirus is seeking to strangle the arteries of our society across the globe. But let us remember that the God of this world, Satan, may think he is getting in front. We must hold on to the fact that everything that happens in this world is in the palm of God's hand. He will have the final say. He has the plan for this time. The world is getting farther and farther away from God. He needs a rescue plan. Israel fell away from God. God had to take drastic measures to get them to turn back to Him. We read how God sent an army from Babylon and besieged Jerusalem to overtake Israel, and in turn were taken captive into Babylon for 70 years. In spite of the drastic actions God needed to take for them to turn back to Him, His compassion and love was still there for His beloved people. We read in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let us take encouragement from what we read in Romans 8:28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes." By staying close to the Lord, we have the promise from God in Psalm 91:1, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." God promises we will find rest peace and security in him. But as the apostle says, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We need to stay close to God and ensure we listen and obey him, living according to his purposes, the plans God has already made for each one of us. We can be assured that God will use this pandemic for good and bring him glory. I am reminded of what Joseph said to his brethren when he made himself known to them in Egypt. In Genesis 50:20 we read, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Let us take heart from what the apostle tells us in Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. In closing, let us listen to the words of the hymn, "A Wonderful Saviour is Jesus My Lord."
Thirsty.